All right, y'all, welcome to the show. I got a sweet one for you. So, Jesus, I don't even remember what's in the show, but I know it's good. I know that much. So, the Republicans have trotted out a new COPE argument as to why Trump is basically guaranteed to win the election. That argument is hilarious. We'll discuss that. We have Alex Jones gets absolutely ethered by his own fans on Twitter. You'll never guess why. You'll never guess what he said that led to them being really pissed off. And then we also have a segment for you on how the state of this presidential race right now is dead tied. I mean, tied. I mean, if it was today, it would be like the exact same number of votes for each and a dead tie at the Electoral College. That's what I'm talking about. And later on, we also have Republican Civil War. We have a GOP congressman who just absolutely goes insky on Matt Gaetz, calls him every name in the book, pedophile, drug addict, you name it, he said it. And then we'll also get to one of the most well-known anti-Trump Republican cucks himself, bends the knee, and gives the most pathetic endorsement of all time to the dude that unmanned him. So I will have some choice words for that segment as well. Everybody do me a big favor. Please subscribe to the channel. It helps out big time in the algorithm. It costs you absolutely nothing. We're trying to get to 10 million subs so that we can add to this lovely plaque collection that I have behind me. I'll find a place. I know there's nowhere for it to like fit at this very moment, but we'll find a place. We'll put it somewhere so we could show it off, but you got to help me get there first. All right, let's go ahead and dive into it here. So there's this new argument that I've seen floating around quite a bit these days, and it goes something like this. If Donald Trump ends up behind bars, that is actually low-key the best thing for him because then he's guaranteed to win the election. Okay, so let's start with Pam Bondi here. She's on Fox News, and she makes this argument.
And that's what's so frightening for our country. Do I want to see him in jail? Absolutely not. I wouldn't put it past this judge, though. And President Trump should be allowed to be out on the campaign trail every single day. This trial shouldn't even be going until after the election.
Let me ask you. If they try to put the former president in jail, you know, 100 and some odd days before an election, you really believe that's going to happen? What do you think the country's reaction to that is?
I think he'll win by even a bigger landslide than he's going to win by already.
All right, so there's one example. Now we also have Jesse Waters on Fox News parroting pretty much the exact same argument, but you're going to see he contradicts himself here. Let's dive in.
Brilliant move by Democrats. You're indicting this guy so many times, and then he can't talk about how unfair it is?
No. A gag order was placed on Trump because he kept putting court staffers and witnesses and people involved in the trial, he kept putting them on blast and putting them in danger as a result of that to the point where they're getting death threats. That's why he was gagged. He was not gagged because, oh my God, he's making this political and he's campaigning and we don't want him to make it political or campaign. He was gagged because of violent threats. Because the way he talks about these people, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He knows it's putting them in danger, and he's doing that. That's why. So don't be a little dishonest weasel prick, okay? You know why he was gagged. Stop pretending like you don't, and stop pretending like it's just all about the election. It has nothing to do with the election.
He says you're rigging the election, and he gets thrown in jail for saying you're rigging this election. This is probably the best campaign strategy the Democrats have ever come up with. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't think it's working. Stephen A is right. We send Johnny out everywhere, black Americans, Hispanic Americans, young and old Americans alike. They've had it with Biden. Never met a Biden fan in my life through Johnny, and except my mother. And so this could be a landslide that nobody sees coming because of how unfair this is.
All right. So notice the giant contradiction. Oh, by the Democrats gagging Trump, making it so we can't talk about it. That's a brilliant campaign strategy from the Democrats. But then cut to 12 seconds later, he's like, and that's why this is going to be a landslide for Trump that nobody sees coming. Wait, if it's a brilliant strategy by the Democrats, that means you're saying this is going to help the Democrats and hurt Trump, and then you seamlessly transition to, this is going to mean Trump wins in a landslide. Guys, the most overpaid job on earth is cable news pundit. Like, the guy has no fucking idea what he's talking about. He contradicts himself in the same sentence, and he gets paid a gazillion dollars. This is the same guy who was just on the PBD podcast complaining about how fast food workers make too much money. Says the guy who sits in an air-conditioned studio and gives his opinions all day and gets paid probably tens of millions of dollars to do exactly that. Are you kidding me? So which is it? Which is it, Jesse Waters? Which is it? Is it that there's a brilliant strategy from the Democrats and it's working? Or is it it's actually not going to work at all and it's going to backfire and Trump's going to win in a landslide? He goes on to stress this point even more. Actually, no, this is a Trump landslide. Definitely watch.
This could be a landslide that nobody sees coming because of how unfair this is. I would make them put me in jail. I would have a tweet about something maybe perhaps I said on The Five or Jesse Waters primetime, and I would force them to throw me in jail if I were Donald Trump. The mugshot backfired. The indictments have been backfired. Being a martyr in jail for maybe, what, a day, 24 hours? I think that would be
Jesse
good.
Jesse can't go to jail.
He can't go to jail?
Yeah, so he's saying if Trump gets locked up, that is absolutely good for his campaign. And he says the mugshot backfired, the indictments backfired. Here's the thing. There is no doubt that in the Republican primary, all of these legal troubles helped him out. Because every time there was a new story about a new criminal charge or whatever, he would go up in the Republican Party and he would be, everybody would be reminded that he's the main character. So DeSantis had to take a back seat, Nikki Haley had to take a back seat, all these other people who were desperately trying to claw away at power, they had to take a back seat. So because everybody was reminded he's the main character, it helped in the Republican primary. He went up and up and up and he ended up winning the Republican primary pretty easily. Okay. But every step of the way, also, when there was another indictment or criminal charge or massive legal issue that he had to worry about, like, for example, the civil trials, that would hurt him in the general election. The going up in the Republican primary would go hand in hand with going down in a general election. So now you have Pam Bondi, you have Jesse Waters, you have other Trump fans all over the place making the argument, yeah, if he gets locked up, we're going to win this thing in a landslide. That is so fucking delusional when all the evidence in the general election is the exact opposite. So here, let me dive into it for you. Poll released Wednesday from Bloomberg and Morning Consult found that 53% of voters in key swing states would refuse to vote for Trump if he were convicted of a criminal offense. A slightly higher share, 55%, say they would reach that conclusion if he were sentenced to prison. So, criminal conviction, 53% of voters in swing states, sorry, not interested, not in the slightest. 55% say, if he gets time behind bars, I'm not voting for him. Okay, that's not all. Look at this one from Forbes. Some 13% of voters who said they would vote for Trump today indicated they wouldn't if he were convicted of a felony, according to a Reuters Ipsos poll released last week that also found 24% of all Republicans surveyed wouldn't vote for Trump if he were convicted of a felony, which could be enough to cost Trump the election. So, in other words, look, 13% who were going to vote for him said, I will not vote for him if he's convicted of a felony. 24% of Republicans say, I'm not going to vote for him if he's convicted of a felony. So look, this is the evidence that is in the exact opposite direction. I don't know how they can come to this conclusion. You know what happened is that Trump, for the longest time, broke political conventional wisdom. And, you know, that actually happened. Like, Trump was right in those instances. In 2016, when everybody and their mother was predicting Hillary Clinton's going to win and it's going to be a clear victory, and she didn't. And, you know, take like the Russiagate investigation. So many people were convinced Robert Mueller is going to drag Donald Trump out of the White House in handcuffs. And he didn't. And he was cleared of any wrongdoing vis-a-vis Russia in particular. You did have like Paul Manafort and Michael Flynn and some of these guys get knocked on corruption. One with Turkey, the other, you know, run-of-the-mill financial corruption type stuff. But nothing regarding Russia. And so the conventional wisdom then flipped and became, he is Teflon, like for real. He's Teflon. this is like nothing's going to impact him. Well, guess what? Now people are set in that type of thinking, and that no longer applies either. Every single election where Trump has been the head of the party post-2016, the Republicans have underperformed massively. That's not a coincidence. Just recently, a new slate of polls came out, and Trump, while he had a big lead over Biden, 4 points, 5 points on the average, something like that, that all went away. Why? Well, it happens to coincide with the 1,000 civil cases against Trump, where now Trump has to pay out for the sexual assault thing and the defamation thing against E. Jean Carroll, and he has to pay $454 million over the tax fraud and insurance fraud and business fraud and all types of fraud in that civil trial. And it looks like those headlines and those stories have absolutely impacted him in a negative way. You know what else would do that? A criminal conviction for a felony, where the polls are already showing he's going to be abandoned by... Look, if this election is going to come down to independents and which way they cut, which way do you think the independents are going to cut if one of the motherfuckers is behind bars? This isn't rocket science. But look, ultimately, I like the fact that they're coping as hard as they are. I do. Because it reeks of desperation, or it reeks of being delusional. But either way, man, are they off base. They've never been more wrong. So yesterday, I teased this story for you guys. We talked about Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson doing a podcast and the various noteworthy clips that came out of that. And one of the things is they talked about Alex Jones, and Tucker Carlson basically called him like a prophet. Well, I told you, hold on, do I have an Alex Jones story for you tomorrow? And this is it. So the other day was 420. And, you know, most people probably think of 420 as smoking weed day, right? Like, that's the general understanding of 420. But it's also Hitler's birthday, okay? Only the most online people realize that. I don't think most people could tell you what day was Hitler's birthday. So Alex Jones sees this post. The post says, Hitler's birthday on April 20th, photo collection thread. So Alex Jones sees that, and he quote tweets it and says the following.
Happy birthday to the man who got 24 million Germans killed. Hitler also launched a world war that killed another 80 million people. Just because our rulers are evil does not mean Hitler was good. Fuck Adolf Hitler!
I mean, this is going to be the lowest bar of all time. But credit to Alex Jones for being anti-Hitler? Like, this is how low the bar is falling, man. And we got to come out here and be like, you know, this guy's not that bad. He doesn't like Hitler. Like, what are we doing here? By the way, one noteworthy thing. Notice the way he phrased that. He said, the man who got 24 Germans killed. In a world war that killed another 80 million people. I don't know. It's just kind of interesting that he didn't mention, like, you know, Jews in particular. That, you know, it just seems a little bit like he could have said the 6 million Jews, but he left that out. It's like, oh, why'd you leave that out? Why, you know, 24 million Germans killed another 80 million people. Anyway, maybe I'm being a little too nitpicky. I don't know. You guys tell me. But I just found it curious. The first thing usually when somebody thinks of Adolf Hitler, it's like, oh, the Holocaust, right? Oh, trying to exterminate Jews, disabled people, communists, etc., right? Anyway, I digress. By the way, this might be because, I don't know if you guys remember, we covered it on this channel, I think. Alex Jones debated Nick Fuentes about Hitler. There's also that very famous clip of Alex Jones and Kanye West. And Kanye West is saying things like, I love Hitler. And Alex Jones is trying to help him out, and he's like, no, you mean like the uniforms, right? You think the uniforms were kind of cool. Yeah, they were like Hugo Boss uniforms. They were kind of cool, but you mean the uniforms, right? And Ye is like, no, I love Hitler. Hitler did some good things. Okay. So maybe that's still floating around in his head, the debate with Nick Fuentes or the Kanye West thing, or maybe he sees in his own audience like, hey, there's people getting a little too cuddly and snuggly with one of the biggest mass murderers in history. I'm not really for that. Okay. Look at this, guys. Hey, Alex. Who declared war on who? How many attempts at peace were rejected by Churchill? Why did Rudolf Hess fly on a solo mission of peace only to be locked away and tortured for 46 years? Alex says, that's after
Hitler invaded Poland and France.
Alex Jones will question anything except the official World War II narrative.
I've read over 100 books on World War II, and I've read 4 books written by top Nazis. It is you that is mistaken.
Alex married into the family Jones. I don't know, is that some sort... Is he trying to say, like, Alex Jones' wife is a Jew or something?
My wife is German and Irish. I had made jokes that I am Jewish back in the day when I was trolling fools. My ex-wife did have a grandfather that was Jewish. My 4 children are all America First Christians. I come from English, German, Scottish, and Irish ancestry. Blah, 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 blah.
I'm sick of these kinds of characters.
Alex says, me too.
I think I'm sick of these kinds of characters. He's talking about you, Alex. That you're on the right, but you're anti-Hitler. Apparently, this post you're not able to see. From what I'm seeing in the comments, Hitler is becoming a mythic hero in a world gone mad. Interesting times ahead.
Yes, people hate the current scum in power so much they think Hitler was a hero. It's a big indicator of how fucked up the NWO is, but the globalists continue digging the hole deeper.
Anyway, the UK started World War II, though. Britain did not start World War II. It instead was started by Nazi Germany, who invaded Poland, whose independence was guaranteed by the UK. Alex's fans when Alex says he doesn't like Hitler.
I'll eat your ass. I will. I will eat your ass. I will eat your ass first.
Who launched the World War, Alex? You're either purposefully misinforming your followers or you're ignorant of the history. I love it in books where he's like, fuck Hitler. I'm against Hitler. He's like, you're purposefully misinforming your followers. What is wrong with people? What is wrong with people? Oh my God. Anyway, believe it or not, guys, this is actually like a lot cleaner for the replies than what it was when I first saw it. When I first looked at it, every single comment was like basically Hitler's based. Hitler wanted peace. Hitler was correct. Like every single one was pro-Hitler and anti-Alex Jones for saying that. Which, look, there's a couple things. See, again, look at this. LOL at he started a world war. Really? Are people really making the argument that Hitler was not expansionist and exterminationist? Like, are we really that dumb now? Have we really been that deluded by fucking brainworms you get online going down Reddit page rabbit holes where you end up on some Nazi site? I mean... Anyway, where was I? Either, like, there's a very, very serious problem with X now. And there was a couple articles about this recently that said, like, you have all of these, like, openly Nazi accounts now with the blue checks, because you know how he made it with the blue checks where you could purchase it now. But apparently recently, like, I think I randomly, out of nowhere, got a blue check, even though I never paid for one and never would. So I don't know if he's, like, changing the formulation a little bit on how to get a blue check, but there were all these big accounts that are promoted because they have the blue check that are just like flat out Nazi accounts. So there's a problem with X. But then also, look, Alex, it has to be said, right? What kind of an audience are you cultivating, dude? What kind of an audience is this? Like, you're saying fuck you to Hitler and it's like controversial and people are against you? And these are the people that have been following you for years that like you've built up their trust and respect and support, and now you say something like this and they turn on you? It's one of those moments where it's like, you know, you made your bed, now you're going to sleep in it, right? And I don't know, maybe that's too harsh because he did do the debate with Nick Fuentes. He did say he hates Hitler when he was talking to Ye, but I don't know. Is there something about his particular brand of conspiracism that leads people? It's almost like everybody tries to outdo the next person, right? And it starts out with just, you know, some run-of-the-mill conspiracy theory stuff. Some of it even true. You know, JFK assassination. It wasn't a lone gunman. It wasn't just Lee Harvey Oswald. Everybody knows it goes deeper than that. But you start out with that, a little bit of Operation Northwoods. You know, you expand it a little bit, maybe go a little too far, a little bit of 9/11 trutherism in there, and then you go a little bit further more. And I don't know. Next thing you know, he's talking about intergalactic gremlin aliens, which is something he literally does. But like, at some point, it's almost like people look for the most hyperbolic, extreme position and then view it as, since this is the most edgy, since this is the most extreme, it also is the truth, right? Did he start that sort of pipeline into extremism? I don't know. I'm just floating stuff here. I'm curious what you guys think about it, but man, that's so dark. I mean, you're basically like, fuck Hitler, and your own audience is like dogpiling you because they're like, actually, we like Hitler. Or here's another theory. Is this just the effect, the Nick Fuentes effect? Where like Nick Fuentes, very like openly Nazi commentator, has his followers, the Groypers or whatever, and there's a decent number of them, and they're all super active, just waiting for somebody to say something negative about their emperor, overlord, god king, Hitler, and like they go in? Or is it just like he's cultivated an audience, built him up, and now they're just attacking because they see him saying something bad about Hitler? I don't know. But either way, man, this is not like, this is not something you would ever imagine, even like 10 years ago, would ever be a thing. Like, anybody openly defending Hitler online, other than in the deepest, darkest corners of the internet. Right? On one of, like, the white supremacist websites, which everybody knew to fucking stay away from. Where you got psychos and killers and all sorts of weirdos on. Now it's everywhere. Now you see, like, this is mainstream shit on Twitter. What are we doing here? So, very, very disturbing. All right, y'all. So let me break down for you the state of the presidential race right now. And I'll say up front that, in my estimation, this thing, if the election were held today, we're talking dead fucking tie. Flip a coin, like, it would be razor thin, the election, if it were to happen today. So let me walk you through it. First of all, we got the Real Clear Politics average of the polls. This one is just if you do straight up head-to-head Trump versus Biden. In this scenario, the average has Trump plus 0.3. Trump plus 0.3. Now, this is after, honestly, a recent surge in support for Biden. So Trump has slipped recently. Biden has gone up recently. There was a period where Trump was up, like, in the average, maybe 4 points, something like that. Now that's basically evaporated. That's gone away. Now, why that's the case? Look, your guess is as good as mine. People can make an argument for a surge on the part of Biden. They can make an argument for just a drop for Trump. I certainly think that these civil cases, which have been in the news a lot recently, the $454 million fine for tax fraud and insurance fraud and business fraud and the defamation, sexual assault payout and all those things. Look, it wore him down. Right? It wore him down. They had some sort of an impact. Either that or another theory, which I think is relatively solid, is that all of those traditional economic indicators, like the unemployment rate, for example, or the stock market, they've been pretty solid for quite a while now. And that could just be catching up, where Biden's approval rating is ticking up a little more because of those traditional economic indicators that have held steady for quite a while and been relatively solid. Or it could be a mix of those things. Right. So this is it. When you do it head to head, this is what we got. Now, let's go to this one. Biden versus Trump versus RFK Jr. polls. So according to The Hill, in the average, based on the last 124 polls, in a direct head to head, Trump v. Biden v. Kennedy, Trump has 42. Biden has 41.1 and Kennedy has 7.2%. So, by the way, kind of a big decline for Kennedy. There was a time when he was polling at almost 20%. Now he's all the way down to 7.2%. So he's gone in the wrong direction, if anything. But you could see here the gap in favor of Trump was pretty wide at this point, right? 5-point lead for Trump here. And then now Biden has slowly closed that gap to the point where it's almost at a dead tie. Now, you know, you also actually have to include Jill Stein. You have to include Cornel West. You have to include a number of third-party candidates. I mean, look, I don't know if Cornel West and RFK are going to end up being on the ballot in all these states, but you certainly, at the very least, have to include Jill Stein, who will be on the ballot, and whoever the Libertarian candidate ends up being. But either way, the point I'm illustrating here is it's close when it's head-to-head. It's close when it's head-to-head plus RFK. Okay. So now, let's get into some specific numbers based on the issues. Who would better handle abortion? Biden, plus 14. It's Biden's biggest lead on any one issue. Who would better handle the ability to bring the country together? That's Biden, plus 9. And then here's where we flip. These are all from Hart Research, by the way. Handling a crisis, Trump wins, plus 4. having a strong record of accomplishments, Trump plus 7, being competent and effective, Trump plus 11, mentally, physically fit to be president, Trump plus 19, inflation and cost of living stuff, Trump plus 22. Okay. More direct issues. This one I find very, very interesting. Which party is more extreme? Republicans, 43%. Democrats, 38%. So, in other words, by a 5-point margin, Republicans are viewed as the more extreme party. Only 14% say it's equal between the two. Okay. And then we have this one here. Being honest and trustworthy, Biden has a 10-point lead on Trump there. Caring about people like me, Biden has a 7-point lead on Trump there. Protecting my rights and freedoms, Biden has a 3-point lead there. Promoting a safe and secure society, Biden has a 2-point lead there. Interesting. So these are more W's for Biden here. And then in this poll, the Echelon Insights poll, 2024 national general election, Biden is plus 3 on Trump. And in this poll, Kennedy has 11%. Cornell West has 2, and Jill Stein has 2 as well. So look, put all these things together, and like I said, this thing is close as hell. Now, you might say, and this is a fair point, that in recent history, in general elections, the Democrat has had to win by about 3 or 4 points in order to win the Electoral College, right? The Democrat has to win the popular vote by 3 or 4 points in order to win the Electoral College. That's a fair point to make. Also, the last time you looked at polls in the swing states in particular, Trump was up in 6 out of 7, right? But here's the biggest counter to that I can point out. Every single primary election that happened, Trump underperformed the polls by 7 to 10 percentage points against Nikki Haley. So that's an indicator that a lot of these polls are overstating how strong Trump is by 7 to 10 percentage points. And if that's the case, then we're literally like right square in the place in the swing states where it's like flip a coin, right? Or if anything, maybe a slight edge to Biden in those swing states. So when you put all the issues together, I've never seen a race closer than this, but it's kind of crazy because it's like everybody's trying to fucking lose it, right? Trump's got all these legal problems and he reminds everybody of his legal problems on a daily basis and plays the victim. And it just feeds into this narrative that he's more extreme, and that's hurting him. That's absolutely hurting him. His whole like victim mentality and the witch hunt against me, it comes across as really whiny and crybaby-like and dumb. And I think that's degrading to the American people. So it's like Trump's trying to lose. And then with Biden, how many fucking times has he been warned? You have to stop arming and funding Netanyahu. You have to distance yourself from Israel. You have to condemn Israel. You have to like fucking get it together. You're hemorrhaging young people. You're hemorrhaging Arab Americans and Muslim Americans. These are key demographics for a general election, and you keep putting your middle finger up to them. So it truly is a race to the bottom. I remember in 2016, I thought we're never going to see a race where it's two candidates who are this unpopular ever again. And boy, was I wrong. Boy, was I wrong. I did not know what 2024 had in store for us, but here we are. All right, y'all. So this story right here is fun. We've been talking for quite a long time about this Republican Civil War. We've seen different iterations of it flare up over time. I mean, you could argue the original was DeSantis versus Trump. There was a moment where DeSantis had a slight lead over Trump in the national polls, and Trump looked like he was going to fade away into obscurity, and he was just didn't seem as viable at the moment. Felt like the safe choice was Ron DeSantis for Republican voters, and then Trump came out swinging, and DeSantis tanked, and we all know the rest of that is history. We also saw in right-wing media, you had Ben Shapiro versus Steven Crowder. Look, on that front, I think Ben Shapiro has comfortably exited as the victor, because Steven Crowder has all these fucking legal problems and these divorce problems, and he's a mess, and he's insufferable to work with, and he likes putting his balls on people's chins and shit. So there was that iteration that flared up. Then you had the classic Kevin McCarthy versus Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert. Now we have Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massey versus Mike Johnson. Every day there's a new right-wing Civil War story to talk about. Well, now this is the first time I've seen sort of the more centrist House Republicans, to the extent there can be a centrist Republican, they take their gloves off here. And they are going to absolutely go for the jugular of some of the people who they view as troublemakers, like Matt Gaetz. So here's Representative Tony Gonzalez, and listen to what he says here.
Do you have confidence that at this point, given that it is still possible that Marjorie Taylor Greene will push to vacate, to kick him out of the speaker's chair, that he can survive?
He will survive. Look, the House is a rough and rowdy place, but Mike Johnson is going to be just fine. I served 20 years in the military. It's my absolute honor to be in Congress, but I served with some real scumbags. Look, Matt Gaetz, he paid minors to have sex with him at drug parties. Bob Good endorsed my opponent, a known neo-Nazi. These people used to walk around with white hoods at night. Now they're walking around with white hoods in the daytime.
God damn, son. God damn. He said, homie's a pedophile and a drug addict, and this motherfucker right here is an outright Nazi. Klansman. Whoo! Wow. I don't know if I've ever seen the more centrist Republicans take the gloves off like this, right? Usually you get the, you know, the Mitt Romney types huffing and puffing and, but you're not defending our democracy. Yes, yes. That's the extent of their, that like, Trump is bad. Yes. And he's owned by Russia. Yes. That's their. This guy's like, that motherfucker's a Nazi. That motherfucker's a Klansman. You fuck children. You're a drug addict. God damn, I got to hear this again.
He will survive. Look, the House is a rough and rowdy place, but Mike Johnson is going to be just fine. I served 20 years in the military. It's my absolute honor to be in Congress, but I served with some real scumbags. Look, Matt Gaetz, he paid minors to have sex with him at drug parties. Bob Good endorsed my opponent, a known neo-Nazi. These people used to walk around with white hoods at night. Now they're walking around with white hoods in the daytime. What didn't surprise me that some of these folks voted against aid to Israel, but I was encouraged to see by a nearly 10-1 mark that Republicans supported our allies on the battlefield.
Oh, he just blew it all up. He just drove the car into a ditch. Now you just made the pedo drug addict and the Klansman look more reasonable than you. Because your main issue is that you're mad some of these Republicans don't want to send more money to Israel. By the way, over 98% of the Republicans want to send more money to Israel. In fact, my understanding was it was only Thomas Massey who's against more money to Israel. I guess maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene you throw her in there. I don't know. But there's certainly more Democrats who are against sending money. 80% of the Democrats are in favor of more money to Israel. 20% are against, right? Which is still horrible. Should be like 100% against. But among the Republicans, this is your big issue? This is your big issue with the pedo drug addict? Is that this motherfucker might have been... And I thought he was for sending more money to Israel. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's against sending more money to Israel. But if that's the case, then you just found something good about the dude. Jesus Christ. Imagine, like, harshly, morally condemning these people, and then in the next breath saying, they don't even want to fund the genocidal ethnic cleansers. Can you believe that? They're against giving more money to the genocidal ethnic cleansers. They don't want to support Adolf Hitler. That's disgusting. Send more money to Adolf. I can't with these people. I was all ready and all excited to sit here and be like, all right, yeah, here we go. A centrist Republican taking the gloves off. I thought he would be hitting, Matt Gaetz and whoever else. These gaggle of idiots, because they don't understand how the legislative process works, and they want to cut more money from the social safety net, and that's their problem, is they say no to absolutely everything, even when they're able to get some concessions from the Democrats, but they don't take yes for an answer ever. I thought that was going to be his... No. The first thing he brings up is, they don't even want to fund Israel! Don't you know all of us respectable people are in favor of sending more money to bomb hospitals and schools and mosques and churches and roads and UN buildings? All reasonable people are in favor of those things. How dare you? Homie just made himself look less ethical than a pedo drug addict and a Klansman. That is quite an accomplishment. So one of the things that's become very, very obvious on the right is that a lot of these party insiders, ultimately, when push comes to shove, they are authoritarian. They will fall in line behind the alpha dog. This is something that we've known for quite a while, but the examples of it that we've seen recently are incredibly stark, to say the least. So one good example is you had Governor Sununu was a huge backer of Nikki Haley. And in the process of backing Nikki Haley, he made some vicious arguments against Trump, basically going with the line that he's totally unfit. He doesn't have the characteristics or the qualities to be a good leader in office. He's a dangerous man. He said a lot of super harsh things against Trump. But he also, in the midst of attacking him ruthlessly, he would say, and if he's the party nominee, I'll support him. Anyway, don't pay attention to that part. Anyway, and then what happened? Basically, immediately after Nikki Haley has to step out of the race, he comes out and endorses Trump. Okay. Well, I don't know, man. It's super weak, right? Because it's like, why? Why do they do it? On the one hand, you can make an ideological argument of, at the end of the day, they prioritize more tax cuts for the rich. They prioritize more deregulation. They prioritize cutting the career bureaucrats from the government. They prioritize more interventionist foreign policy. Like, you can make an ideological argument. Hey, that's why I'll support him, because ideologically, he's more in agreement with me. But there is another argument, which is like, they know that where Trump is where their base is right now. And so there's like a real raw careerist, I need to save my ass element to it also, right? Could also be a money thing. They know that if Trump's the standard bearer, then in order for them to be relevant in politics, they need to raise money from the same donors. So they're going to have to kiss the ring. If they don't kiss the ring, then their donors will abandon them, right? There's a whole bunch of different psychological and monetary and careerist implications here. But what I'm about to show you right now is perhaps, honestly, the saddest of the cuckings I've ever seen. So here's Bill Barr. He was in the Trump administration. This is one of the guys who we have to thank for the fact that the coup attempt didn't work. That the fake elector slate and the January 6th stuff, we have Bill Barr to thank. Hey, man, thank you for standing up to Trump and saying, no, motherfucker, I'm not going to go seize the voting machines. No, I'm not okay with you signing off on martial law. You need to be okay with the peaceful transfer of power. We're not going to release a statement backing up your insanity that the election was stolen. No, we're not doing that. This is what Bill Barr did. He stood up to Trump in that respect when he was in the administration. Well, now here we are. He's on Fox Business talking to Neil Cavuto, and he's going to be asked about who he's supporting in 2024. Get ready.
For all of your problems with your former boss and all the issues that he raised in office and all the damage you argue he had done, are still supporting him over Joe Biden. That surprised you. Didn't surprise me. I know you had said before you would support the Republican ticket, and you are, but he's heading that ticket for all those warts and problems you cited. Why?
Right. Well, yeah, I'm not happy with the choice. I think this is a terrible choice for the country, but it is a choice. At the end of the day, we have to select between two different individuals. And I've said all along that I think it's my duty to pick the person I think will do the least harm to the country. And I think that to me, that's clearly Trump and the Republican administration, which I think is important. I think, you know, getting control over the border, stopping the lawlessness in our cities, building up the strength of the United States in an ever more dangerous world, stop the avalanche of regulation that is strangling business and our technological superiority. These are critical things that have to be done, and I think that we'll get them done under a Trump administration. At the same time, I think the Biden administration is, in fact, the greater threat to democracy. I think they have a totalitarian temper. They have bought into the progressive movement, and they're trying to squelch opposition and freedom of speech.
Bill Barr is not running for office. Bill Barr is not a governor. He's not a senator. He's not a congressman. Bill Barr is not in any relevant position of power anymore, period. And he's still endorsing Trump. And his main argument is that, well, I think Biden is a bigger threat to democracy. Motherfucker, you helped thwart the coup that Trump was trying to do. You helped stop it. You were one of the few brave voices that spoke up and said, I can't let this motherfucker get away with this. This is crazy. You know he's a bigger threat. You know that if Joe Biden loses, he'll go quietly into the sunset. You know you don't have to worry about him making a stink over, actually, it was rigged and I really won and they're lying to you and now I'm going to do a fake elector slate. Now I'm going to try to stay in power. Now I'm going to try to call senators to get them to object and send the slates back to the states and send the fake elector slates. And you know, as a matter of ironclad fact, he tried to steal the election. You stopped him. And now you have the nerve to get up there and say, I'm for Trump because Biden's a bigger threat to democracy. Look, man, we would not be doing this segment if he just said that first part. His first part was like, hey, look, I don't like the choice. I don't like either one of them. But at the end of the day, it's going to be one of the two. And so if I have input, the reason why I'm picking Trump is very simply because I think he's tougher on crime and I think he'll deregulate and I love deregulation and I love cutting taxes for the rich and I love this policy and that policy. If he had just left it at that, I wouldn't be doing this segment. Because you hear that and you go, you know what? Fair enough. Fair enough. You understand all the dangers associated with Trump, but ultimately at the end of the day, you care more about tax cuts for billionaires and corporations, and that's your prerogative. Fine. But he didn't just leave it at that. He said Biden is a bigger threat to democracy. Now, by the way, is Biden a threat to democracy? Well, as far as I know, there was only one political party that canceled primary elections. We had the Democratic Party of Florida, the Democratic Party of North Carolina, and the Democratic Party in, I believe, at least two other states as well said, oh, we're not going to have an election. Oh, we know Marianne Williamson is running. We don't care. Oh, we know Dean Phillips is running. We don't care. We know Cenk Uygur's trying to run. We don't care. No election here. It's Biden's entitled to it. We're just handing it over to him. No questions asked. We're canceling the election. That is deeply authoritarian. That is deeply anti-democratic. That is a threat to democracy. Here's the difference. I don't excuse that for one second. That's a horrific crime. But we also all understand that in a general election, if Joe Biden loses, he's walking away. He ain't going to try to say, I won. He's not going to make a big deal out of it. He's not going to try to declare martial law or seize the voting machines. We know all of that. Both of those things are true at the same time. But he has the nerve to say, Biden's a bigger threat to democracy. And oh yeah, he's just too progressive. He's too progressive. He's too progressive. You know which voters were the first ones to abandon him? It was the progressives. Why? I don't know. Maybe because he's arming and funding and backing a genocide. Right? Maybe because Build Back Better, which was his plan, his proposal, which was phenomenal, was the biggest transformation of the U.S. economy since the New Deal. He ended up axing 80% of it with the help of Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. The idea that he's some sort of hardline progressive, please, I wish he was that. I wish he was that. The fact of the matter is, he's, depending on how you want to score it, anywhere from center left to center right, somewhere in that ballpark, right? This should be right up your alley. This should be right up your alley, Bill Barr. But no. He wants to roll the dice on an outright authoritarian. He had the nerve to call Biden totalitarian. Are you kidding me? You know this guy tried to steal the election. You know he'll try to do it again. You know he's going to surround himself with hardcore loyalists. There won't be a Bill Barr in this administration because he wants everybody around him who's going to be a yes man. No matter what he says, yes, sir. And you're still okay with him being the one? Look, this is why I've told you guys 1,000 times. And this is the problem that cable news makes, too, the liberal networks. Just because somebody says some shit that's critical of Trump does not mean you should treat them as a hero. Because at the end of the day, virtually all these Republicans do an about face. And they get down and they kiss his ring. And then they also get down and kiss his ass. That's what happens. That's what happens. I guess the only one that didn't is who? I think Nikki Haley, right? And I'm shocked by that. I was convinced she'd be first in line to be like, I'm for Trump. for whatever reason, he touched a nerve, and she's like, I'm just not going to say shit. She's like the only one. All the others were like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me coddle your ballsack, sir. I really thought Bill Barr would not be the one to come out and do this. I really thought that. But he did. He witnessed the coup attempt. He helped thwart it. And he's out here like, Biden's a bigger threat to democracy. What am I supposed to do with these guys, man? I don't know what I'm supposed to do with them. But this is embarrassing. That's all I can say. All right, guys, we got a couple new pieces of RFK news here that I wanted to share with you. This is an NBC News. RFK Jr. candidacy hurts Trump more than Biden, NBC News poll finds. The finding, which contrasts with a number of other national polls, comes amid concerted Democratic efforts to prevent Kennedy from harming Biden's campaign. All right, so let me just point out up front here, this is not the end-all be-all, this article and this point, because as they explain, some polls say the opposite. So you can't write home about this. It's not a guarantee. Just keep that in mind as we go through it. The latest national NBC News poll finds the third-party vote, and especially independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., cutting deeper into former President Donald Trump's support than President Joe Biden's, though the movement the other candidates create is within the poll's margin of error. Trump leads Biden by 2 percentage points in a head-to-head, 46-44. Yet when the ballot is expanded to 5 named candidates, Biden is the one with a 2-point advantage. So when you add all the candidates, it's Biden 39, Trump 37, Kennedy 13, Jill Stein 3, Cornel West 2. That is really interesting, especially because, in theory, all three of these candidates should take more from Biden than Trump. Because ideologically, that would make the most sense. That Biden is part of the Democratic Party, nominally center-left. Jill Stein's a lefty, Cornel West a lefty, Robert F. Kennedy, let's just say he's confused, but he's got the last name Kennedy, so you would think, associated with Democratic or left politics. But no. When you add them in, it actually hurts Trump more. The big reason is that the poll finds a greater share of Trump voters in the head-to-head matchup backing Kennedy in the expanded ballot. 15% of respondents who picked Trump the first time picked Kennedy. Wait, 15%? Wow. Kennedy in the five-way ballot compared with 7% of those who initially picked Biden. That's interesting. So in other words, it's been conventional wisdom that Trump has this hardcore, like, cultish base of support. I think that's true. But what this is also showing is that of the number of people who say they will vote for Trump, that is not just his hardcore cultish base. That's also a bunch of people who are sort of begrudgingly doing it. And when you give those people other options, 15% of them go, nah, I'll pick RFK. That's interesting. In addition, Republican voters view Kennedy much more favorably, 40% positive, 15% negative, than Democratic voters do, 16% positive, 53% negative. Damn. So guys, here's why that's important and how we got here. Most of the shit that RFK says has been right-wing coded. It's more of like a right-wing agenda focused on right-wing talking points, right? The stuff that he's obsessed with and talks about all the time is more stuff that's big in right-wing circles. Like his vaccine skepticism, for example, right? Or talking about how against funding Ukraine he is. Well, according to the polling data, it's Republicans who are more anti-funding Ukraine and Democratic, even the voters, are more pro-funding Ukraine, right? So because his focus is more right-wing coded, he's going to take more from Trump because Trump is the right-wing Republican candidate, right? That's really interesting. So in other words, the name recognition thing of Kennedy, and you associate that with Democrats right away, and it's a Democratic royalty name, that's now being overrided by the actions of RFK. Quote, at this stage, Kennedy's appeal looks to be more with Trump than Biden voters, said Democratic pollster Jeff Horwitt, who conducted the NBC News poll with the Republican pollster Bill McInturf. That might sort of bias it a little bit, right? It's a Republican pollster, so you're trying to say RFK is more of a spoiler for Trump. So they want, do they want Trump to attack him more? I don't know. That finding, however, contrasts with the conventional political wisdom as well as the result of other national polls suggesting that a bigger third-party vote hurts Biden more. The NBC News poll results on Kennedy's impact are different than other surveys, said McInturf, the GOP pollster. So there's always two possibilities. One, it's an outlier, or two, we're going to be seeing more of this, and our survey is a harbinger of what's to come. By the way, it could also be that he takes almost exactly 50-50 from both sides. That's certainly possible. Here's the thing that I fear. He recently attacked Trump. He also recently had a picture that he posted with him and Cenk Uygur hanging out, doing a hike together or something like that. If RFK starts coding himself more left-wing, then I think it will go back to he's taking more votes from Biden. But, you know, the other thing is, like, he's as big of a hawk, if not a bigger hawk, on Israel than Biden and Trump. So all the pool of potential voters there on the left who would have voted for him if he was right about Gaza, now they all say fuck you to him because he's a piece of shit on the issue, right? So, I don't know, man, but if he starts talking more lefty-sounding, I'll take more from Biden. I think if he keeps saying right-wing-coded things, he'll take more from Trump. Right now, it's a fucking coin flip. You got mixed evidence as to who he's going to take more from. But that's not even the point of me doing this segment. I wanted to give you that information, but I also wanted to give you this. Group backing RFK Jr. spent more than $2 million on abandoned ballot effort. American Values 2024 is the latest group to struggle using unlimited donations from the very wealthy to subsidize traditional presidential campaign expenses. So, the gist of this is his super PAC was spending a shitload of money to try to get him on various state ballots across the country, and now they can't do that. They can't do that. And so, remember, he picked Nicole Shanahan as his VP. She's fucking loaded. She could dump as much money into the campaign as she wants. The campaign is separate from the PAC, or the super PAC. So the super PAC spent all this money, I think successfully got him on the ballot in Arizona, I think it was. And now they need to restart that whole process again in Arizona. Because having the super PAC get you on the ballot is not legally legit. Because in order to do that, you need coordination between the campaign and the super PAC, and the coordination is illegal. So you got to start from scratch, get on the Arizona ballot again, and now he's relying on Nicole Shanahan's money to try to use the campaign to get himself on all the proper ballots. But this is a major setback for RFK. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is a colossal setback for him. Because whoever the super PAC, whatever state ballots the super PAC helped him get on, now it's back to the drawing board, back to square one on that shit. But you know what? From a legal standpoint, I think it's the correct reaction. Because you can't have coordination between the super PAC and the campaign, and clearly there was. And so, I don't know. We'll see. As I always tell you guys, I'm skeptical that this guy's going to get on 50 ballots. I have no idea how many he's going to end up on, but at the end of the day, he might end up on some weird, insignificant number. And that could be... It could be a big deal if some of the ballots that he's on are the swing states, right? So... we'll see what happens, but big setback here for RFK Jr. All right, guys, that's the show. I love y'all very much. You know the drill. Everybody, please click like, please click subscribe, all that fun stuff. Click that bell icon so you get a notification every time a video drops. Check out Crystal Kyle and Friends this week. I think we have Dave Smith on, the libertarian who recently debated with Cenk against Dennis Prager and Batya Unger Sargon. I'll talk about Gaza and a bunch of other stuff. Should be fun. And yeah, that's all I got. You could listen to the show audio podcast style if you want over on Spotify. It's up to you. And thank you to everybody who supports the show on Patreon. Can't do it without you guys. You know, I've never talked to an advertiser. You guys help fund this show from the ground up. So please consider Patreon link below, or there's the thanks button on YouTube if you want a tip. And I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Peace.